Please do take a seat. I'm going to invite James to come out. I've got a few questions here. Let's start with this one. Is there a problem with consistency? Different church leaders promote different interpretations of God's rules.
I would say that is an issue, that there are different interpretations of God's rules. I don't think there's an inconsistency, because it's not... I'm not saying it's your life, it's the church's rules. I'm saying it's your life, it's God's rules. And actually, God's rules are not subjective, they're objective. Because they're there in the Bible. We perhaps can discuss exactly how some of them might apply to us, exactly what they might mean, exactly how it might work out in an individual situation. But for the vast swathe of God's rules, it is very clear what God is wanting. Where there is disagreement, again, between perhaps church leaders or perhaps different churches, different denominations giving their interpretation, where there is that disagreement, well, what it's up to us to do as individual Christians is to say, well, are all these people taking the Bible seriously? Or are they trying to explain away the Bible? And if they're trying to explain it away, well, they've got no right to say that that's God's rules. Again, you may, and we do get to occasions where two people are taking the Bible very seriously and will come to different opinions on perhaps a very minor issue. At those points, well, we sometimes do have to agree to disagree. But that really is going to be on very minor points. To give an example, perhaps from a different generation, that might not be such a hot issue today, but certainly my grandfather thought that going to the cinema was a very un-Christian thing to do. And if you went to the cinema, that was synonymous with not being a Christian. And of course, he then tried to influence my mother in that way. But by the time it got down to my generation, well, that idea had changed. And actually, cinema was not seen as something so antithetical to Christianity. So there may be a time where you come to a difference of opinion, but it's on something so relatively trivial. Most of God's rules are crystal clear if you take the Bible seriously.
Just to say again, there's tea and coffee after the service. Always opportunity there to come back if you've got more questions or you're not happy with the answers you've got. Do stand him in a corner and drill him.
Thanks.
I'll have my coffee. Can you know and love God if you do not know Jesus?
Can you know and love God if you do not know Jesus? Living today in the age that we're in, the way that we come to God is through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what Jesus is saying there is he's saying, actually, if you want to know God, you have to know me. He is the way that we get to know God. So the short answer is no, you can't know God apart from Jesus. Because Jesus is God, and he is the one who comes to reveal God to us.
Okay, what use are good works if we aren't earning our salvation?
What use are good works if we're not earning our salvation? Well, perhaps if we think about it like this. So I'm married to Jenny, and we're married. We've got a contract, a certificate that says it, and that puts legal obligations on us that we're married. And so therefore, there's no point me doing the washing up. There's no point me, buying her a birthday present. There's no point me coming home when I say I'm coming home, because frankly, we're married. There's nothing she can do about it. Of course, that's not how we live, is it? Once you're in that relationship, you want to live to please that person. So you want to do good works because actually it's part of being in relationship. And so with God, when we're called into relationship with God through Jesus, we're saved by grace. That is not anything that I do. It's a gift from God. Actually, when I'm called into relationship, I don't then think, well, fine, I've got the bit of paper. I'm sorted now. I can live how I like. No, actually, I think now I want to live to please this wonderful God who has calmed down, who has died for me, who has forgiven me, who has rescued me. I want to live for him. And so that's the point of good work. It shows the relationship I have with God. It shows that I want to live to please him. And it shows that he's at work in my life and making me more like Jesus.
Why does the Bible state that God is above other gods when he is the only God? Doesn't this state that there are other gods and give faith to false religion?
Okay, I guess that's from our psalm that we had this morning. Verse 3 said, "The Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods." You get as you read through, particularly in the Old Testament, where it talks about the other gods, because there are gods of the surrounding nations, normally with a small g here, to differentiate them from the God of Israel, the true God, the Lord. And I think it's simply acknowledging that, yes, there are other gods. There are things, there are idols that people worship as God. Just by writing that God is greater than those doesn't mean that they exist. Psalm 115 is a great psalm that speaks about God compared to the gods, the so-called gods of the nations. And it says this: "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, nor do they make a sound in their throat." So he's saying, look, there are other gods out there, but actually they're meaningless. You might draw a little mouth on it, but it's not going to speak to you. You might carve some eyes, but it can't really see what you're doing. And that would be how the Bible views these other gods. And so today, we sometimes talk about the idols that we worship, money or sex or our career. Those things we could describe as gods with a small g. But actually, there is only one true and living God.
Okay. Last question. Why does the when circumstances in one's life become very harsh and bad health takes over to cause maximum worry, what is God doing for us at this time?
When we accept the gospel, when we become a Christian, really what we're doing is we're saying, I can't do this by myself. I haven't got the strength, I haven't got the goodness, I haven't got the ability to save myself. We are giving up our independence and saying that we are completely dependent on God. And when in life, circumstances, ill health, drive us again, perhaps to our beds, and restrict our independence, it reminds us again that actually I can't do it by myself. When you're perhaps in enjoying good health, situations are well in your family, actually you can be tempted to think, well, perhaps I can do this after all. I'm doing all right by myself here. Actually, those times of trial, those times of difficulty, are when we realize that no, we can't do it ourselves. We need to rely on God. But the great truth is that he is with us, not just in the good times, but all the time. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so perhaps in those darkest and most difficult times of your life, actually that gives you the opportunity to reflect that the God who saved you is still walking alongside you, even in those moments.
Okay. So do continue to discuss the questions, come back to James or with one another after the service. A lot of these are very important questions, which is obviously all you can do in a couple of minutes in a service is to kind of give some pointers. A lot more to be said, and so do feel free to keep asking and discussing.